And we are doing our best to understand things as well as possible. We are starting a lot of the gold this month just to give some of the background. And we said before that we're trying to go in somewhat chronological order or somewhat to best understand how things are going to go. The first week we spoke about a general introduction to Mitzvah Atulias Ba'aretz, what qualifies, what doesn't qualify. We then spoke about Truma Bizman HaZeh, just in general, to frame things a little bit. Truma itself is certainly D'oraisa. The question is, what is its status Bizman HaZeh? We saw that some Rishonim would think Bizman HaZeh is D'oraisa, the Raivit. Some think it's only D'Rabbanan, and that could be either because of less Kedusha, or because there's no din of Bias Kulchem Bizman HaZeh. That we saw as the Rambam as a Shita. Last week we started speaking about the question, once you have those two introductions, so where exactly are you Chayav in Truma? Where are you Chayav? So we know that Truma is a mitzvah, so we have our rights as Chayav specifically in Eretz Yisrael. We spoke last week about two issues. One is, how do we define the borders of Eretz Yisrael? We have lots of different options. How do we define the precise borders of Eretz Yisrael? The second question we spoke about last week was, is there an Indian of Truma, Dafka, and Chutz La'aretz? What I want to speak tonight about a little bit is really just a question of, within Eretz Yisrael, just one, I guess, more question about defining the areas in which you are chayav in Trumos Umaisros. And what we're speaking about tonight is the question of, does it have to be Jewish-owned land? Does the land in Eretz Yisrael have to be Jewish-owned in order to be chayav in Trumos and Maisros? Only because one of the guys referenced it a minute ago. That happens to be a very important conversation in the context of Shemitah and Heter Mechira and Yivul Nachri. 2 years ago, when we learned Maseches Shviyas, we spoke about that at much greater length. It could be tonight we'll reference it a little bit, but primarily tonight I want to speak about that one question of, does it have to be Jewish-owned land or not? We also pointed out in the first year, and whenever possible, we're going to try to, as some of these shiurim are partially in the introduction to the world of Zrayim, to contrast Truma and Maisros with some of the other mitzvahs. So we're going to try to do that a little bit tonight also, hopefully we can just get some ideas down pat. The starting point is really a Gemara Maseches Gittin and Daf Mem Zayin. It's a very, very famous Gemara. A machlokes between Rabba and Rabbi Lazar. The machlokes is as follows. We'll just say the part that's relevant to us. Rabba maintains that a non-Jew who owns land in Eretz Yisrael is not able to be mafkia that land from Meiser. If a non-Jew owns land in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't matter. It's still Chayav Midoraisa in Meiseros. However, Rabbi Lazar holds a very fascinating shita, that that's not true. That a non-Jew could, if he owns land in Eretz Yisrael, he will be mafkia it. He will uproot it from being chayav in Maisros. That's what the Gemara says. Pashat Pshat, and this is clear in Rishonim, that Machlokes applies also to Trumos. Trumos and Maisros usually go more or less hand in hand. So we have a very important Machlokes between Rabba and Rabbi Lazar. What exactly would the halacha be if it's land in Eretz Yisrael, which is owned by non-Jews? And just important to remember, nowadays, Baruch Hashem, with the return of the state, so we do have a lot of the land of Eretz Yisrael, still not all of it, especially, something in Shemitah years, sometimes you do have things that grew in Eretz Yisrael that's not owned by a Jew. And pre-1948, so much of the land of Eretz Yisrael was also not owned by Jews. So this question is a very, very important question. We're going to speak for a while now, assuming that Truma is D'oraisa. We'll reference a little bit about how this halacha may play out itself as Man HaZeh. Let's understand this machlokes a little bit. Lichora, the shita that makes a lot more sense is the shita of Rabba. Rabba maintains that a non-Jew who owns land in Eretz Yisrael, that's not going to impact whether you're chayiv in Meiser or not. Trumos, Meisros, that's a mitzvah, their mitzvahs are tluyos ba'aretz. It's still Eretz Yisrael, even if it's owned by a non-Jew. There, it's hard to argue that suddenly if a non-Jew owns the land, that he is going to be mafkia, the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. What, a non-Jew owns the land, there's less kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, it's no longer kedusha ha'aretz. It's hard to argue that the fact that just another factor, some achronim point out, the Rav has this idea in the Shi'uri HaRav and Maseches Chala, or in Hilchos Trumos. The Babich Rebbe has an idea in Likutei Sichos. I happen to maintain that there's significant overlap in the lumdus of the Babich Rebbe and the Rav, a variety of different sugyas. That's not for now, but it is a theory of mine, and if you're keeping score at home as far as the list, you could add this to the list. Although for some of us, I imagine that will be number one on the list. For some of us, it may be a little bit longer. So they both point out that when you talk about ownership of Eretz Yisrael, so there's two kinds of ownership in Eretz Yisrael. One which is clear in the Gemara Maseches Basra is the Klal Yisrael's ownership over Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is muchzak for us, all the way from the Avos. Klal Yisrael owns Eretz Yisrael. Bailus b'ofen klali. There's also bailus b'ofen prati. Individuals happen to own segments of Eretz Yisrael. So, all of Eretz Yisrael belongs to Klal Yisrael as a whole, but I may have specific rights in very specific areas. Rabba's shita is that, again, if a non-Jew owns a land, it doesn't matter. Why would it be that if a non-Jew owns the land, it doesn't matter? So number one, l'chore, he can't uproot the Kedusha. He happens to own there. How could that uproot the Kedusha? Secondly, he also probably can't uproot the Bailus Klali of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. It's still Jewish land. The fact that, again, I own this particular land and he owns that particular land, it can't alter the fact at all that Eretz Yisrael is muchzak lanu from Avosenu, that Eretz Yisrael is Jewish land all the way back, even if practically, I sold part of it. In that sense, the shita that is most intriguing is the shita of Rabbi Elazar. Why would that be that a non-Jew who owns land in Eretz Yisrael, that suddenly that land is no longer chayev in Chumos and Maisras? We're going to try to highlight a couple of different ideas. They're really, again, different ways of formulating it, but let's just start like this. If you look at the Gemara itself in Maseches Gittin here on Daf Mem Zayin, the Gemara says, why is it so? Afal pi sheyes kinyan lo'bikachavim b'Eretz Yisrael lahafkia midei meiser shenemar digancha v'lo dagan o'bikachavim. The simple pshat, l'chor, is it's a gezeiras hakasav. It's a gezeiras hakasav. A non-Jew who owns land in Eretz Yisrael, digancha v'lo digan o'bikachavim. Even though the land, again, the simple pshat, even though the land has Kedushas Ha'aretz, even though the land has Bailus Klali of B'nai Yisrael, there's a Gezeiras HaKasav that if he owns it, that suffices. It seems to be that if that's the case, again, it has nothing to do per se with the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. It's a din that even though it's Kadosh, there's a bit of a ptur in peiros that are grown by a non-Jew. That appears to be, some of the Archonim point out, the pshat in Tosfos and Maseches Kiddushin. Because Tosfos and Kiddushin maintains that this idea of Degancha, the low Degan, that if a non-Jew owns it, your pater, applies. Remember last week we saw the Sugya Maseches Chulin, that Me'ikar Adin for many Rishonim, Truma applies in Chutz La'aretz. You have some Mitzvot Ba'aretz that apply in Chutz La'aretz. So Tosfos thinks that this Ptur would apply in Chutz La'aretz also. So point out the Achronim as follows. The Rav pointed this out in Shir HaRav. Lichtenstein had this shot. Also, a bunch of Achronim had this idea. If the, again, just listen up for a second. If the pshat is that the non-Jew uproots Kedushas Ha'aretz and makes it like Chutz La'aretz, this Ptur has no relevance or no significance to Truma in Chutz La'aretz, because that's not dependent on Kedushas Ha'aretz at all. What seems to be the case is that there's some halacha that anything owned by a non-Jew, there's no din of Chumos and Maisros. That there's no din of Chumos and Maisros for anything that is owned by a non-Jew. Nothing to do with Kedushas Ha'aretz, because again, if it's about Kedushas Ha'aretz, so that halacha has no relevance in Chutz La'aretz, where there is no Kedusha. The fact that this Gezeiras HaKasav applies even when there's no Kedusha teaches us, say these Achron, that's an external ptur, which means again as follows, the land owned by a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael is still Kadosh. It's still Kadosh. It could be that on a level of Bailus, the land still belongs often Klali to Klal Yisrael. He's an individual owner, it is certainly the case, but he's not doing nothing, just to did in the fruit, that the fruit owned by a non-Jew, those individual fruit, those are pater. It's like more of a Gezeiras HaKasav. If he's the owner, the Torah paters it. However, if you look in the Rambam and Hilchos Trumos and Perek Aleph Halacha Yud, so the Rambam paskins ain kinyan la'akam, but the way he says it, it's clear how he understands Shitas Rebbe Elazar. And this Reb Chaim in Hilchos Trumos, in both Aleph Yud and Aleph Chaf Beis, Reb Chaim talked about this a bit at length. And Reb Chaim suggests, and the Rambam appears to hold as follows. A wild idea. When a non-Jew owns land in Eretz Yisrael, he's actually mafkia part of Kedushas Ha'aretz. the land itself becomes less kadosh. The land itself becomes less kadosh. Just a let's define what that means a little bit. The land itself becomes less kadosh. We do have to remember a distinction we quoted last week from the Kaftor of Aferach and from some others. When the non-Jew, when we say that he's mafkia the kedusha, it doesn't mean that it's no longer called Eretz Yisrael and becomes a chutz aretz. It doesn't mean there's no mitzvah of yishuv Eretz Yisrael there. It doesn't mean that there's an inyan of being nikvah or of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. You can't be buried in Eretz Yisrael there. There's an iser to travel there. We're talking specifically about agricultural kedusha. But a non-Jew who owns it has the ability to be mafkia elements of the agricultural kedusha. If you remember a little bit, and I just presume in these shiurim that we're not necessarily always engaged in active chazara, so sometimes we'll try to build in some chazara. Reb Chaim, if you remember about Bias Kulchem, this reminds us, it's really the flip side of part of Reb Chaim. The halacha of the Rambam Paskins of Bias Kulchem, the Gemara in Ksubas and Daf Chafei, that there are certain contexts where Klal Yisrael has to be in Eretz Yisrael. For the Rambam, the Gemara is clear for Chala to be Chayav Midoraisa. The Rambam says also for Truma to be Chayav Midoraisa, you have to have Bias Kulchem. Unlike the Beis Halevi, Reb Chaim maintained, because when you have Bias Kulchem, when you have Jews coming to Eretz Yisrael at a certain time, that increases Kedushas Haaretz. And what the Rambam seems to maintain here is that when you have non-Jews who own the land in Eretz Yisrael, you have a decrease in Kedushas Haaretz. Meaning, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, Kaftar Veferach model, the notion of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and Avira De'ara Machkim and all those halachas, that's the same no matter what. That part of Eretz Yisrael can never be touched. But agricultural kedusha, elements of it can differ depending on who's living there. And if Jews are living in Eretz Yisrael, then the land itself becomes a bit more kadosh. And if non-Jews are living there, so the land becomes a bit less kadosh. That's a second model. Akedei Kaf, the Rambam thinks, potentially an amazing chiddush. Let's say a non-Jew owns that land. It lost its kedusha. What if a Jew buys it back? Is the land now chayav midoraisa? If I'm a Tosfos person, which maybe Shitas Rashi also, their Maseches Gittin, that the land was always kadosh, just a gezeiros hakasav, if it's owned by a non-Jew, it's potter. So now if I buy it back, it's totally mine, it's kadosh midoraisa, I'm all good. But it sounds from the Rambam the following. What about if I hold Yesh Kinyan? If I hold Yesh Kinyan, so then it's possible, it sounds from the Rambam, he was Mafkia the Kedusha. Let's do a wild idea. If I buy it back from the non-Jew, I'm still not Chayav Midoraisa. You know why? A Gemara in Gittin. That's called Kibush Yachid. It lost its Kedusha. How do you establish Kedusha again? By time of Yoshua, when Bnei Yisrael came, you need Rabbim to come. In the time of Ezra, you need Rabbim to come. What's called Kibush Rabbim? Those are Shittas Mishonim. You can chazal that from Daf Ches there, Maseches Gittin. But says the Rambam, you take it back, you're an individual conquering back part of Eretz Yisrael, and an individual that conquers part of Eretz Yisrael. Guess what? He's not mekadesh Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't actually become kadosh. So it could be that once a non-Jew owns it, it loses elements of its kedusha. Loses elements. Of its kedusha. The amount of zera ramifications of that. Yeah. Let me just pause 1 second. So basically, what we saw so far is as follows. Reb Elazar holds Yesh Kinyan. A non-Jew has the capacity, if he owns land in Eretz Yisrael for Chumos and Maisros, it is not going to be Chayev. Why? So one shot is because it's a Gezeiros HaKasav. Or it's a Gezeiros HaKasav teaches me that as long as he has his own individual bialus, it's Pater. If I'm a Rambam person, it's a different idea, which is the non-Jew who owns it is actually lessening the amount of Kedusha found there, which is an amazing chiddush. If you go and you buy it back, it's actually not going to revert back to its original state. It's still going to be on some level Pater Midoraisa. Yeah. The Rambam holds Ein Kinyan. When he formulates Ein Kinyan, he says, don't say X. It's clear how he learns what he learns Yesh Kinyan holds. Rambam says, because Ein Kinyan, if you buy it back, it's not like Kibush Yachid, doesn't have Kedusha. Meaning, if I hold Yesh Yachid, it means pretty clear as to what the other side would hold. Let's talk about one issue that emerges from here, and it's something which is actually very, very interesting. The Gemara itself The Gemara itself only talks about this idea. This will help frame the relationship of different mitzvos atluyos ba'aretz. Rav Lichtenstein wrote an article about this that is just, I think, masterful is the word that one would use. Not that he needs, obviously, any haskama of mine. It's just like, it's amazing. If you get into this stuff, it's inspiring. It's like, it's a mussar shmooze, just to see what Torah could be. The following, just a potential nafkamina lich ora. The Gemara says it at Meiser, Truma, maybe Bikurim, but this idea, if a non-Jew owns the land, what does it and doesn't it impact? There are a lot of mitzvot atluyos ba'aretz. Is this idea true by all of the mitzvot atluyos ba'aretz? Is it only true by some of them? When is it and isn't it the case? So, Rav Aaron points out in his article, you have it just to go through just some basic mekoros. Tovos the Maseches Gittin and Daf Samech Beis extends this idea to the notion of Shemitah. That in Kenyan, Yesh Kenyan is going to be relevant to the notion of Shemitah. That happens to be, that's something which, again, that's why it's relevant for the Shemitah discussions a little bit. With the Machlokas, we'll talk about it a bit, Beis Yosef and some others. But that's it relates to Shemitah. Tovos and Avodah Zarah and Daf Samech Gimel thinks the same question may impact the halacha of Kilayim. The Rash in Meseches Trumos, the Or Zeruah as well, talk about how it may impact not just Truma and Meisner, and not Shemitah or Kilayim, but can it relate to halachas like Orla and Netta Revai? Orla, the first 3 years that you have a fruit, so those 3 years you can't work the land at all. The fourth year, you can't use benefit from the fruit at all. The fourth year, Netta Revai, you bring that fruit, you cash it in order to bring it to Yerushalayim. So how narrow or broad, what are the ramifications of this machlokas? Some Rishonim extend it much more, and some Rishonim extend it much less. Let's just point that as follows. We'll have three levels of understanding. First level, what I would have said, if I learn like the Rambam, that it's mafkia the kedusha. When a non-Jew owns the land, he uproots the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael for agricultural mitzvos. I would think this halacha should apply to all mitzvos. It should apply to many of the mitzvos atluyos ba'aretz. Because what's really happening? You're ripping out the kedusha from the land. And kedusha in the land is the linchpin. It's what gets the ball going for so many of the mitzvos atluyos ba'aretz. So for Shemitah, it should be relevant. And again, for so many, it should be significant because there's no kedusha there. So therefore, it shouldn't apply either. But if I hold like Tosfos, that no, there really is still kedusha there. I just have a gezeiros hakasav of degancha velo degan of the kochavim. So the question would be, if I'm Tosfos, well, do other things also have a gezeiros hakasav, or do they not have a gezeiros hakasav? Meaning, for the Rambam, that gezeiros hakasav means because there's no kedusha. For other Rishonim, I don't know if I'm Tosfos, is it going to be extended or is it not going to be extended? That's my first just initial thought. How broad am I going to say it? 1, 2, and 3. Okay. Point number two, is not so fast. And let's focus on the Rambam Shita. Not so fast for two reasons. Number one, the Rav pointed out that you have a machlokas. What about Orla and Chadash? Orla, the first 3 years, you can't benefit from it. Chadash, any of the new grain before the first day, second day of Pesach, you're not allowed to eat any of the new grain. So Orla and Chadash, what if a non-Jew owns land? Is it still chayiv in Orla? Is it still Aser and Chadash? I can't eat it. What's the din of Orla and Chadash? Why is Orla and Chadash different? Listen up, you have to hold kapp a little bit for this. The Rambam maintains that Yesh Kinyan means, what does a non-Jew do? He uproots the Kedusha. For Orla and Chadash, points out the Rav, Orla and Chadash pashtas are chayiv in Chutz La'aretz. Orla, we saw last week, I think, Halacha Mos Mi Sinai, Orla applies in Chutz La'aretz. Chadash, though it may not apply lemaisa for us for whatever reason, fundamentally it sounds like orla applies in chutz la'aretz. So the Rav points out as follows. If yesh kinyan means that you've uprooted the kedusha and that's why there's no chiv in maisros, so the fact that a non-Jew owns it only matters for those halachos that are based on kedusha, that are based on kedusha aretz. But any halacha that applies in chutz la'aretz, clearly we don't care if it has kedusha or not. You're chayav anyway. So even if yesh kinyan le'akum lafkia mimaisa, because he uproots the kedusha, but for halacha that's not based on kedusha, who cares? It's not really going to matter at all. There's no issue at all. There's no issue at all. 1, 2, and 3. Is that more or less? 1, 2, and 3. One more time, if I can get some. Okay. Third. This is where Lichtenstein points out some. It's cool. If you read the Rambam in Hilchos Trumos, when the Rambam quotes it, it really sounds like it's pretty limited, the halacha of yesh kinyan, the name kinyan. Sounds from the Rambam, points out of Lichtenstein, it's on the sheet here. If you look in source number 20, it's a very long article. I gave you a bunch of it. He points out there, Ravaran points out, that if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Trumos, it really sort of sounds like, according to the Rambam, the whole issue, it's really limited to Trumos, Maisos, and Bikurim. The whole machlokas is limited to Truma, Maiser, and Bikurim. Doesn't sound like it applies to Challah. Doesn't sound like it applies to some of the other ones. And ask Tzavaron, I don't understand. Forget Orla and Netter Ravai. Take Challah as an example. Challah is something which really applies Midoraisa only in Eretz Yisrael. Challah applies in Eretz Yisrael. Sugi is in Mesachas Ksubis on Daf Chaf Hei there. When exactly you're Chayiv when you enter the land? When am I Chayiv in Challah? If the pshat in yesh kinyan is, listen up to the following question, Ravaran. If the pshat in yesh kinyan is that you've uprooted kedushas haaretz, why is it only limited to truma, meiser, and bikurim? Why wouldn't it apply to challah also? Why wouldn't it apply to some of the other contexts that are also lichora based on kedushas haaretz? If yesh kinyan means the non-Jew owns it and he uprooted the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, why wouldn't it apply by all the other ones? So if Aaron suggests the following, I'll share with you just the beginning of an idea. You can read the whole article inside if you want just more details. But he suggests something interesting. Let's keep a certain model around. We pointed out that there are different levels of Kedushas Haaretz. Of Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael. The Kafter of Aferach, very famously, the Rav in a different context. There's Kedushas Eretz Yisrael for Avira De'ara, for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, for being buried in Eretz Yisrael. And there's Kedushas Haaretz for on the agricultural level. We also know that even within agricultural mitzvos, is it not possible that there are different levels of Kedusha? One possible example, like we saw, Reb Chaim, in Bias Kulchem. There's Kedusha in the land, Bizman Hazeh, but there's a certain extra level of Kedusha that only comes in when all of Klal Yisrael enters. Suggests Rav Lichtenstein the following insight. It is possible that even when you uproot Kedusha for agricultural mitzvos, not all of the Kedusha of agricultural mitzvos gets uprooted. The Kedusha relevant to Truma and Meiser and maybe Bikurim, but there are particular mitzvos where you are, even when the non-Jew owns it, even for Man D'Amar Yesh Kinyan, he can't uproot all of the Kedusha that's there. Where do we see that there may be different levels of Kedusha? They all have Bias Kulchem, Chal, Bias Kulchem. Where's the different levels of Kedusha? So Varon points out, I'll just give you one Mar Makom, only because we referenced it before and it's in our Masechta. The Gemara in Ksubis Naf Chaf Hei. When Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, they were Chayiv and Chala right away. We'll speak more about this in future weeks, about the difference between Chala and Truma. But they were Chayiv and Chala right when they entered. And they were only Chayiv and Truma, the Gemara says, 14 years in, after they conquered Eretz Yisrael, and after they divided up Eretz Yisrael. Why? What changed? Why is Truma a delay for 14 years? So if you look in the Rishonim and Be'ezra Hashem B'li Neder, we'll speak much more about these Rishonim in a different context. But you get different shitos in Rishonim, Rashi in a couple places. Why is Chal a Chayev right when you enter Eretz Yisrael? And Truma is only Chayev after 14 years. And Rav Lichtenstein points out that at least in some Rishonim, what it sounds like is because there are different levels of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. That when you first enter into Eretz Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael first came in, that brought a certain level of Kedusha. Enough for the mitzvah of Challah. But after 14 years of conquering and dividing up Eretz Yisrael, so then there was more Kedusha that came. And Truma is dependent on that higher level of Kedusha that comes only once you conquer it and divide it up. Parentheses. That's probably why, if that's where the Kedusha stems from, why a non-Jew who owns the land is mevatel that kind of Kedusha. Because what is that kind of Kedusha? The Kedusha that came after conquering and dividing up the land. Once we conquered it and gave it out, now it's more Kadosh. When a non-Jew owns it, so then, presumably, you're losing some of that. So for the mitzvah of Truma and Meiser, that's really going to be very, very important. But for the mitzvah of Challah, as an example, Challah is not dependent on that. Challah is Chayev as soon as you enter into Eretz Yisrael. Let me try and chazer what we spoke about, and maybe I'll just end with like a quick thought. What we saw tonight is the following. We're trying to just talk about where in Eretz Yisrael may Chayev and Truma. Again, I said last week that we're going to speak this week about what you're chayev in. That'll probably have to be. Are we on next week? We're on next week. Next week's a regular regular Thursday night. There is something next week. Okay, we'll do that after we finish, and we'll clarify that. What we saw tonight is that whereas we know that Truma Midoraisa is dafka in Eretz Yisrael, it may only be. And we spoke last week about how we define the borders of Eretz Yisrael. It may have to be Jewish-owned land. That's a machlokas in the Gemara, Jewish-owned or non-Jewish-owned land. We spoke about the idea, is that because of some just din in the tour of the peros if they're owned by a non-Jew? Is it a din that they're even mafkia, the kedusha, so buying it back is like kibush yachid? And we tried to point out that this machlokas of yesh kinyan or ain kinyan really may apply to other mitzvot or may be much more limited. And it's a good example of where you can sort of appreciate that although there are many different mitzvot ba'aretz, they're not necessarily all the same. And it's a group that you have to be able to divide up and to understand well in different contexts. One of the things that we spoke about, just to end with the thought as we are a couple of days before Rosh Hashanah, it's a very powerful, powerful model. One of the things about Eretz Yisrael, which we've already begun to develop this year, and has ramifications for different mitzvot ba'aretz, is a notion that Kedusha is not an all or none game. The Kedusha doesn't have to be either there is or there isn't. But in Eretz Yisrael, we now are aware of at least four different levels of Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael. The baseline Kedusha from the time of the Avos, it's a land that of Vira De'ara, of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha that comes with agricultural mitzvot, a Kedusha of Bias Kulchem, a Kedusha of Yes, Kinyan and Shevashan of Kibush and Chiluk, etc., and different models of Kedusha. If I could just share a brief just ha'ara on a level of Avodas Hashem pre-Rosh Hashanah. Sometimes a person can get a bit depressed when they look at the Avoda of Tshuva and they look at their own growth, and you know, if you're honest, I'm never really going to be able to be entirely perfect. And I wanted to chew it for something, but sometimes it's hard to say with 100% certainty, am I for sure going to be able to tackle it? Kedusha as a whole is never all or none. There are always madregas and madregas of Kedusha. And it's important to strive for full Kedusha, as we all should be striving for full Kedusha. It's important to find chizuk in the fact that even if I can't get the full, complete Kedusha, just like Eretz Yisrael nowadays is not complete, it still is a holy place with a lot of Kedusha. And for us ourselves to strive for as much as we possibly can get there, to understand that we are people capable of Kedusha. It's our presence in Eretz Yisrael that establishes Kedusha. We have that koach. If we're here, we bring more Kedusha. And to try to just be cognizant of the fact that There are different madregas, and it's our mission to get whatever we can. And if I feel like I'm not getting to the top level, it's also called holy sometimes. There's a certain kind of kedusha, which is also there. Let me just clarify what's going to go on.